He's thankful that he's got the next two weeks of work on his desk, so he won't be going out and climbing no hills or nothing. And he's not going to miss any school, so he's tickled about that. So, can you remember him? I saw Perry yesterday at the grocery store, and he's looking great. And I asked him if he'd started anything yet, and he said no. He said that's still out there a little bit, way to go. They haven't put a pick line in or anything, so he hadn't started on that. But it would be a combination of chemotherapy and radiation that he'll be having. So remember him in your prayers and seek the Lord's help for him. Deb's feeling some better. Been a nasty little head cold she's had, sinus thing. Her eyes swell up, and she had fluid in one of them in the sack. And she said, I can't go out like this. And and now she's got a style in one of her eyes, so bless her heart. So she's having a good time with it. But remember her in your prayers, too. Let's begin our worship service with hymn number 442. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. 442. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Let's pitch that a little higher, that's a little low for me. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, oh, I'm sorry. I started the whole song over again. Let's start. Verse 2. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Hymn number 477. 477 at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon
to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis, the 49th chapter. I'm going to read part of one verse tonight. Verse 24, the last phrase. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Let us pray.
Our Father, we are so thankful for this blessed, blessed word that teaches us continually of the glories of our Savior and our King and the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you that you have not left yourself without a witness, but you have given this book to us. Within these pages, from cover to cover, there's a beautiful illustrations, types and pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And as he is revealed in the New Testament, in the epistles and the gospels. And as the epistles say, he's coming again. We do thank you. We do praise him for his excellent greatness. Father, we ask for those who are sick and going through trials, those who've lost loved ones, those who are about to travel, we will ask you to watch over them. Remember especially Melvin as he's recovering from this foot surgery. Perry as he's preparing for these chemotherapy and radiation treatments. My wife Debbie as she's recovering from this sinus infection. Stan as he's recovering from this surgery. Pray, Lord, you'd be with each one of them. Watch over them. Strengthen them and bring them back to a good measure of health. We pray for ourselves tonight, Father, as we've gathered here, that you might be pleased to open up your word to us. Give us a glimpse of our Savior. Allow us, please, to touch the hem of his garment, that virtue might flow to us. We might rejoice in his complete salvation up for us and might praise your holy name. We ask it in his precious name and for his glory. Amen.
Sometimes when you're studying the scriptures, the believers, sometimes he gets stymied with things. He looks at things and can't figure out what they are. He knows that whatever the passage is, to some, in some way, shape, or form, it considers the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his church. He knows that. Sometimes the scriptures don't seem to open up to you. This is not the case with this text, however. This short phrase, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, is a plain and potent parenthetical expression declaring the Christ of God. From thence, it says, what is from where? As from the mighty God of Jacob is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. How often did our Lord say that the Father had sent him, or that he was of God, or was God? These titles, the shepherd and the stone, belong to Christ throughout this blessed book and are defining terms of his person and his work. Concept of shepherd is throughout this book, and almost exclusively, save for a few instances, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would just consider the word shepherd tonight, we'd find ourselves in a doctrinal cornucopia. Time and time again, our Lord is presented that way. The Word of God makes much of Christ as the shepherd of his flock. As to pedigree, his human lineage is he came from the line of a shepherd. The shepherd who was the sweet poet and psalmist of Israel, and the king whom the Lord measured all other kings by. Time and time again we read in the Old Testament when our Lord said that a king did ill or did not do ill, did well, he would say, like my servant David. Like my servant David. Our Lord Jesus Christ is of the house of David. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 23 it says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. He shall be their shepherd. That lineage of David was important. We find it written in the book of Luke in chapter 1 that the throne of David was to be inhabited by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means not the actual throne of David, but the kingdom of God's Israel will be held by Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. When Isaiah was telling the people of Israel, Zion, the church, to behold their God in chapter 40 of Isaiah, the true God to be beheld is described this way. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather them in his arms and carry them in his bosom. Behold your God. Not just the king. This is your God. Our God carries his sheep in his bosom. As to his wondrous day of death on the cross of Calvary, in that 3-hour period of darkness when the sun was draped and no human eye could behold, the God of justice laid stripes on our iniquities that had been laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. In some of the most gloriously descriptive language of Scripture, that great transaction is proclaimed in Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. In verse 7 it says, awake, O sword. Awake, O sword. This is the sword of divine justice. This is the sword that will answer the issue of sin. This is the sword of the Lord. Awake, O sword, against who? My shepherd. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And when our Lord told his disciples that they would be offended because of him, he quoted that verse of Scripture in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 26. As to the declaration of the doctrine of electing grace, we love the doctrine of election and the doctrine of electing grace. The shepherd is the one who makes the distinction in this election. It says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's divine election. And who decides? The shepherd. The shepherd is the one who divides the sheep from the goats. As to the doctrine of particular redemption or limited atonement, the shepherd designates those for whom he died. In John chapter 10, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. As to the fact that he came into this world to die, and no one but he had the power of life and death, he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I have power to take it up again. He said that as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. As to the sure salvation of his elect out of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, the shepherd said that he must bring them into the fold. He said in John chapter 10, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. I must bring. And there will be one fold and one shepherd. One shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. As to the effectual call of the gospel, our Lord said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said that in John chapter 10 and verse 27. He also said, I give to them eternal life, which is the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. He will give them a life that never ends. They will be his forever. What about reprobation? Reprobation. As to reprobation, our great shepherd said those who believed not, those who would never believe him. Why didn't they? He says, you believe not in John chapter 10 and verse 26 because you're not of my sheep. You're not of my sheep. Those who will die and perish in the end and spend eternity separated from God in a hot and high fiery hell. Those will be there because they weren't his sheep. They weren't his sheep. All his sheep are going to get eternal life. He said, my sheep hear my voice. But he looked at those who had religion, had a righteousness of their own, had a merit they believed that would stand them in a right standing before God. He said, you don't believe me. He said, the reason you don't believe me is because you're not my sheep. That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. Who said that? The good shepherd. The good shepherd said that. As to the doctrine of imputation, a cardinal doctrine in the scripture, that belongs to the shepherd. That belongs to the shepherd and his sheep. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, a very familiar portion of scripture when it talks about our sins being imputed to Christ. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was not wounded for his own because he had none. He was the perfect, holy, blameless, sinless Lamb of God. He had no sin and knew no sin and did no sin. But he's borne our griefs. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement due us to bring us to peace was upon him and not us. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like what? Sheep. That's the language of the shepherd and the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. That's the doctrine of imputation. It belongs to the shepherd. Belongs to the shepherd. And as to the shepherd's intent and purpose and will, he, according to his own words, will not stop searching until he finds every one of his sheep. when the Pharisees made mockery of him for eating with sinners and sitting down and fellowshipping with sinners in Luke chapter 15. He said this parable. It says, then drew near to him, in verse 1, the publicans and the sinners to hear him. What kind of people are those? The publicans were the worst sinners, and sinners were like second in line. But the publicans were Jews who were tax collectors for Rome, who took a piece of the action for themselves. And they were hated. And if you wanted to say something bad about somebody among the Jewish people, you called them a publican. Because that's just as bad as you can get in their language. And these publicans and sinners came out to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. Sinners and publicans gathered to him. You know, the Pharisees, people didn't gather to them. They saw them come around the corner and they'd run. And they'd hide. Oh, there's one of them. You're going to tell me how wrong I am and all the bad things I've done. And that's what they did. Our Lord said they'll tell you what to do, but they won't lift one finger to help you do anything. Call them open sepulchers and full of dead men's bones. These Pharisees, they said in verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured. They murmured. Under their breath, they were saying, whispering to each other. They murmured. Spurgeon said, a murmur is a sound that any beast can make. And the Pharisees murmured when they saw him sitting with these sinners and these publicans. And he said, they said, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. You imagine that, they said. Look at that spectacle. Here they were in their beautiful robes, dressed to the nines, full of religion. They broadened the ribbons on the bottom of their robes and made them wider, that blue ribbon, so they'd say they're closer to God than anybody else. They had phylacteries, little boxes that they had Bible verses written on that they had memorized. They wore them. They walked around in these robes, pristine and holy and righteous, and everybody said, don't mess with them. These are holy men. These are holy men. And our Lord said to them, what man of you? Now remember, here's the situation. They're standing here looking at him. There he is, sitting down with these sinners, receiving them and eating with them and fellowshipping with them. And they're standing back in awe of this horrible spectacle. And he looks at them and he says, you fellows, you got 100 sheep in your fold. One of them gets lost. He said, what would you do? If one of them was lost, wouldn't you leave the 99 that were in the fold, safe in the fold, and go out and find the one lost one? And the way he distinguished between the Pharisees and the law, these sinners that were sitting beside him, he said, the 99 who need no repentance, they're safe. They believe they're right with God. There's no thing. He said, I'd leave that 99 who need no repentance, and I'd go out in the wilderness, he said, and go after that which is lost until he find it. Until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth upon his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, look at this. Look what I found. Look who I found. He said, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That's the language of the shepherd. The language of the shepherd. He won't stop searching until he finds him. You see, Jesus Christ will not lose one for whom he came. He will not. I know people like to sing sad songs about you. Mama's going to miss you because you didn't make it to heaven. Your mom ain't going to miss you. She's in heaven. She ain't going to care. In fact, she's going to praise God for his righteous judgment of all those that sinned against him according to Revelation. When Babylon falls, the saints are going to rejoice in Jesus Christ and say salvation belongs to him. Holy and righteous is his name. They'll praise God. They'll praise God. Our Lord will not lose one for whom he came.
we don't serve a Jesus who tried to save somebody and couldn't do it. That Jesus is not found in this book, anywhere in the pages of this book. We worship a Christ who came to do a job, who left heaven, laid aside his glory and the ever-present praise of the angels, and came down to live among the wicked, vile creatures of the earth who didn't want anything to do with him, and to gather to himself the refuse of humanity, the worst of the lot, and call them his own, and go to a cross and die in their room and in their stead and in their place so they wouldn't have to die. Pay the sin debt they owed and may become and be made to be their righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. To redeem them back to God. To reconcile them to God by the blood of his cross. When God said, "Oh, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my fellow." And he didn't lose one. He said that. And he said that in answer to unbelief, just like he said these words in John 10 to answer to unbelief, telling those Pharisees, "You don't believe because you're not my sheep." In another place, they didn't believe him. In John chapter 6 or John chapter 5, they didn't believe him. He said, "I know you don't believe me. I know you don't believe me." People get all upset about that. "Oh, he's, you know, we want everybody to believe." Well, everybody's not going to believe. In fact, I don't have anything to do with anybody, whether they believe or they don't. All I can tell them is the truth. So all I can do is, as far as I can go, that's my only job and my only institution, to set forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to those in unbelief, they'd say, "Well, we don't believe you're the man to come down from heaven. You're Joseph's son. We've known you since you was a boy walking around in Nazareth. We've known you all along. You're not anybody." He said, "I know you don't believe me. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will not cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he's given me I should lose nothing, but raise him up in the last day." The shepherd's intent and purpose and will, according to his own words, will not stop searching until he finds every one of his sheep. And you know what that is to sinners and publicans and the people religion don't want to fool around with? Good news. That's the gospel. Good news. And as proof that his under shepherds, which the word pastor means, as proof that they love him, the great shepherd commanded them to do what? Three times he said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" Simon Peter said, "Yes, yeah, I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then he asked him again, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he was probably talking about the fishing equipment, because he had decided to quit this gospel preaching business and go back in the fishing business. "You love me more than these?" Peter says, "Yeah, you know I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs." Finally he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know everything. You know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep." That's the language of the shepherd. The language of the shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 11, our Lord said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the bishop of your souls." And 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." From stem to stern, your relationship to Jesus Christ and mine is the relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. Now, Jacob spoke these words concerning Joseph. The mighty God of Jacob. From thence comes the shepherd. And what did the shepherd write out on the hillside as he was watching the sheep of his father's flock? He wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." From thence is the shepherd. Father, bless us to understanding. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.